Good morning. Passage this morning will be in Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this time that we have to open your word. We thank you that you've preserved your word for us over these so many hundreds and thousands of years. We ask, God, that as we think about this brief, short passage this morning, that we would realize that there's a very deep lesson in it for us, that you call us to be vigilant in our lives, to be aware and focused on you, and that you call us, God, to observe your will more than our own. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he left this example for us. We pray, God, that although we always seek to follow him, that many times we find in our lives that we've given into our own will and not done your will. We know, God, that you forgive us. And sometimes, Father, we feel guilt over that. And I pray that you would help us to not linger on that guilt, but to use it as a way of reminding us of the goodness that you have, that exists within you, and of the grace that you give to us. And let that guilt move us towards the experience of forgiveness so that we can continue to serve you more and more every day of our lives. Again, we thank you for Jesus. We offer this prayer in his name. Amen. I remember when I read this passage, I don't know, 20 years ago, I was working on a lesson, and I had come across a chapter in a book I was reading where the author focused on this passage. And even though by that time I'd read this story a number of times, it had never really jumped out at me what was really going on here. And I remember being taken aback at what Jesus is actually praying here, about getting into the emotion of the moment, of what Jesus is experiencing here, and of the way that he prays. In verse 42, it was new for me at the time to realize that Jesus was asking for the possibility, at least, of God finding another way out, even at this late stage of the game, so to speak, that he was praying that if there's another way that we can do this, then let's do that. But then, the key, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." That even in that prayer, even praying, knowing that his life was on the line, that his life was going to be taken from him in a very short period of time, he still prays to God that God's will, not his own, God's will would be done. And when I realized that Jesus, at the point of his own death, was relinquishing his own will to do the will of the Father, this passage became very meaningful for me. And as I mentioned in my prayer, it's a very short and brief passage. It's not long at all. But there's a lot of things happening in it. And I think we need to take stock of the fact that this is happening at a very emotional moment for Jesus. And we can contrast that emotional moment with what's happening with the disciples. And we see that this passage is bounded at the beginning and end by Jesus saying to the disciples, "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." And he mentions that not just once, but twice. And the second time is almost ironic, because we realize as we read the passage that the disciples had actually fallen asleep on him. He had told them to stay awake, stay alert, stay focused, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And then it's almost as if they did that very thing. that if Jesus' will for them at that moment was to stay awake with him, whether just to be vigilant and awake for him, or whatever purpose that would serve, that they gave in to the temptation to do their own will. They were tired. It had been a long day. There was a lot going on at this time. And they fell asleep. And so Jesus almost ironically says at the end of the passage, he asks them, why are you sleeping? But then he says it to them again, get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. But then almost immediately, folks show up and he's arrested. So it can't be that Jesus was expecting them to pray at that time to not fall into temptation. Or maybe he was, that they wouldn't turn away from him at that time. But I think he emphasizes that twice in this very short passage as a way of reminding us how easy it is for us to do our own will instead of God's will. How easy it is for us to fall into the trap of thinking that we know best, or we can figure it out for ourselves and we'll just go our own way, and we can figure out God's will later and maybe even pull his will into our own. And so Jesus tells them twice at the beginning and end of the passage to pray not to fall into temptation as a reminder to us. That when he tells us to be in various places in the Gospels to be awake, alert, and focused, that he means that because he doesn't say that knowing that that's the normal course of events for most of us. We struggle with staying focused. We struggle with not doing God's will, or we struggle with trying to do God's will and giving in to our own. It's hard to keep our focus on God in order to do his will. And many times, even though we know what the right thing to do is, we don't end up doing that. And there's a number of reasons for that. We know what the right thing is, but we don't want to put in the effort to do it. A lot of times when we know what the right thing is and it's facing us, we know that it's harder to do the right thing. Maybe it's going to cost more from us than we want to give. Maybe we're just feeling lazy and we can't be bothered to do what needs to be done. And so we don't do the right thing because we don't want to put the effort in. Sometimes we don't, as Christians, we don't do the right thing because we're afraid of what other people are going to think about us. And we feel like if we do the right thing, then we're going to stick out from the crowd. And we don't want to call that kind of attention to us. And so we don't do the right thing as a way of trying to blend in because we don't want to be made fun of. Sometimes we know what the right thing to do is, but we don't do it because we want something to talk about later. We want something to complain about later. If we know what the right thing to do is and we don't do it, then it's not going to get done, and it's something that we can talk about later. And so there's all manner of reasons why we know what the right thing to do is and we don't do it. But at the end of the day, all of those reasons come down to the fact that we're focused on doing our own will. And every time that we're focused on doing our own will, living by our own will and not by God's, we're going to find ourselves doing things that could be described as selfish and that could be described as being in it for ourselves. And too often we find ourselves, when we focus on doing our own will, we also would see, if we take an honest look at our lives, an absence of or a decline in prayer. When we're focused on ourselves, we find ourselves praying less. Because by its very nature, when we pray, we're talking to God. And when we pray, we're focused on God. And when we're focused on God, we're more inclined to be focused on the things of God. But if we're focused on doing our own thing, then that means we have to find ways of pushing God away, so that he's not around as often, at least in our own minds, so that we can do the things that we want to do without being focused on God. And so Jesus, when he talks to his disciples, because they'd fallen asleep, it becomes kind of an apt description for us when we find ourselves being focused more on doing our own will. We could describe ourselves as being asleep in our own faith. Yes, we have faith, but we're really not focused on that faith because we're focused on us, on me, on doing what we want, on following our own will, and we're asleep to God's will. We always have access to God's will. We can pick up the Bible anytime and read it. Every time that we're here, we have lessons and sermons and so on, classes that illustrate for us what God wants from us. But if we're not really paying attention to that because at the time, for whatever reason, we're more focused on ourselves, we're going to miss what's right in front of us. We're asleep in our faith, just like the disciples were. And I think one of the biggest temptations that we face, one of the biggest things that causes us to pull away from God and to be more focused on ourselves, is something that probably Jesus was experiencing here and something that no doubt the disciples were experiencing, and that's fear. At this time, there's a lot happening, and the disciples and Jesus himself were well aware of what was happening and what was going to happen, and I think that they were probably afraid, that they were fearful. In Matthew and Mark, in the other Gospels that share this same story, we get a notion about Jesus that he was deeply distressed as he was praying. There was a lot going on, and he was deeply distressed. Luke, in particular, highlights the agony that Jesus was going through, that an angel appeared to strengthen Jesus. This wasn't normal that in Jesus' life, at least as described by the Gospels, that angels would appear to strengthen him. It was a unique thing that happened at a very troubling and deep, dark time for Jesus. An angel showed up to strengthen him. That tells us not that he was weak, but that he was going through some turmoil, that he was struggling with this. We see that in his own prayer when he says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." That's his request, that God would take that cup from him. And in the Bible, the cup is a symbol of suffering. It illustrates the suffering that's going to happen to a person. And so Jesus, he's praying to God at this moment, knowing that the end is very near. And he's saying, "God, the suffering, Father, that I'm about to walk through, if you are willing, take that away." And even though he says at the end, "Yet not my will, but your will be done," we need to take serious stock that although he ends his prayer there, and that's always where he was going to end, he's still asking honestly and sincerely that in this moment, if God is willing, that he would take that away from him. And it's at that moment that the angel appears to him to strengthen him, and that we get this depiction of Jesus in anguish in verse 44. Anguish. There's not many times in my life that I would describe myself as being in anguish. And yet that's the word that Luke uses here to describe what Jesus was experiencing. And the anguish was so severe and his prayer was so earnest that his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus was experiencing some severity in his life, some emotional trauma, if you will, praying to God that God would take this away. But the key for us is to look at what Jesus said and did throughout all of this. Because even in this intense moment where he was struggling with this decision, he never wavered from his faith. And Jesus himself never gave in to that temptation to do his own will. And his actions and his words are in contrast to that of the disciples who, when they had the opportunity to do God's will, turned away from that to do their own will when they gave in to temptation and fell asleep on Jesus. So this passage is a contrast. It describes two ways of going about our faith. One way is to give in to the temptation to be afraid, to give in to the temptation to do our own will, to turn away from God in that moment of temptation, and to do our will instead of God's will, or to follow the example of Jesus, who in that moment of anguish prayed for a different option, a different opportunity, but closed his prayer by saying, "Yet not my will be done, but your will be done." To follow God, Jesus is showing us that we can't be driven by fear that gives in to temptation and turns away from God, but we must relinquish our own will in order to do his will. in the midst of those around him who were focused on their own will, who were focused on falling asleep, who were focused on giving in to temptation, who were not focused on staying awake and alert and diligent and vigilant, Jesus sets us the example to go to God in trust and in prayer. And in the midst of distress, trouble, and pain, Jesus turned to God. And he gave up his will to trust God. And in trusting God, he was doing the will of God. Jesus trusted God completely. As I've said, this is at the very end of his life. He's about to be arrested. And once he's arrested, as we all know, he moves on to his trial where he ends up being crucified on a cross, very cruelly, painfully, for our sins, as part of the will of God that through his death and resurrection, we would have the forgiveness of sins. But at the very end of his life, and although he prayed for a different way, Jesus trusted God completely, and he rested in that trust in God and in God's will. And he leaves us that example that we are to pray not to fall into this temptation, but to put our trust in God and to do the will of the Father. I wonder if the next time that you find yourself getting angry with a person, speaking angrily, operating out of fear, giving in to fear, wondering about not doing God's will because it would be easier to do your own will, at that time, immediately stop what you're doing and go to God in prayer. And pray to God, asking for help out of that temptation, out of that fear, out of that anger, and declare your intent to God that you desire not to do your own will, but to do his will. Ask God to take away your fear. Ask God to help you not to fall into that temptation, and ask God to strengthen you in the doing of his will. That's the example that Jesus leaves us. The example of the disciples is an example probably all too common to most of us. But that doesn't have to be the end. Jesus reaffirms them when he says, pray not to fall into temptation. When he says to them, after they've already fallen asleep, he says, get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. When he goes back to them the second time, he reminds them that their previous failure, their previous omission of doing God's will wasn't the end. That they could pray, that they could turn back to God, and that they could keep living to do the will of the Father. If anyone's here this morning who needs to respond to the gospel, maybe to give your life over to God by being baptized into the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and to be added to God's church, or if there's anybody here with some other kind of a spiritual need, we encourage you to let us know what your need is by coming forward while we stand and sing.